107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For months, people have been complaining about inflation and high prices, but it didn't stop anyone from flying over the weekend.
Usually, the busiest travel days are over a holiday weekend, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, or 4th of July, but surprisingly, Sunday of this week was the busiest travel day ever, according to the TSA. It says officers screened 2.99 million people at security checkpoints on Sunday. Never before has it been that busy. And this Friday for the 4th of July getaway, it's expected to break that with over 3 million people flying on Friday. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The U.S. announced a plea deal that would allow WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to avoid prison for publishing classified U.S. documents 14 years ago. The NHL's Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup Championship, blowing a 3-0 series lead, defeating the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 to secure the cup in 7 games. This is ABC News. Kidney transplant surgery. While wide awake, happened in Chicago's Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and ABC's Ryan Clark has the story.
John Nicholas received a kidney transplant late last month. This procedure at Northwestern was unusual.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Early morning showers and thunderstorms, otherwise a high of 87 on Tuesday. West winds at 10 to 17. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, a low of 61. Wednesday mostly sunny and not as warm, a high of 77. Thursday partly cloudy and 75. Friday 78 with periods of rain and thunderstorms, most widespread in the morning.
In Milwaukee County, that's a quarter of Wisconsin's 2023 tourism profits. Visit Milwaukee President and CEO Peggy William Smith held a press conference ahead of the Republican National Convention's arrival in the state's largest city. We believe in economic development and sound tourism. The more we bring into the shows across the way or the riverside or the
said, sir, I don't know if you ever would,
but that helps the entire
community.
The RNC is expected to attract 50,000 visitors to the city of Milwaukee. The National Weather Service has confirmed 6 tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin this past Saturday. Storms could be causing more tornadoes. We've had more than 30 so far this year. And that's what you need to know.
Him and his brothers, Frank.
CivicMedia.us for all of the stories highlighting our dairy industry all throughout Dairy Month. Again, our website is CivicMedia.us. Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is the director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Susan Yackey is here. Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We saw this article a while ago in the Cap Times, and we've been looking forward to talking to you about there is growing interest among students to study public policy. And considering where we are in this country, where it seems like we can't agree on anything, it's just so interesting. What are you hearing from these teenagers
in it? Yeah, this is happening at UW-Madison in a really big way, and I think it's really exciting. So we're hearing from students that they want to run for our problems, not necessarily as a
That's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, we've seen students actually all over. The undergraduate majors in public policy have been popping up all across our peer competitors and universities across the country, and our programs here at the Law School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison,
And what kind of courses are we talking about, Susan? What things will they be looking at and studying?
Absolutely. Let me tell you a little bit about our program, the courses, and then our future ambitions as well. Because we're seeing more and more students in the kind of work we're doing. So our first program is the opportunity to wake you up, but we can't find the chief. And at UW-Madison, those operate kind of like a minor. So we might have a major in engineering, and we then have kind of a minor in public policy or other programs in health policy. And in those cases, And those courses offer And then the remainder of that builds out their skills. And so, for instance, I'll just say here that we have offer a class called Evidence-Based Public Policy Meetings. And I'll let you ask me a question about that.
Oh my goodness, what? Actual evidence-based, Susan? What? That sounds crazy.
You know, it's exactly what our students are craving. Right, so I think in this world now where misinformation reigns reign supreme, so many people are far far to the left, far to the right, there is this middle ground where students see value in, you know, doing the work, finding out what kind of public policy programs actually work, and trying to invest in those. And that is our kind of the certificate offers two classes a bit like that. So one class is a policy analysis class, which is testimony, right, or legislative testimony, so that they can practice their skills in communicating data and evidence back.
That's great.
That sounds fantastic.
That is great. And I'm so delighted to hear that this is of interest and growing interest among young people, because tragically they're going to be the next ones who are going to have to deal with all of these things and these issues going forward.
Well, that was my next question for you, is taking that education into the internship world, into the real world, getting that experience inside the state capitol. Is there any sort of, between UW and the state capitol sort of program? All right, we have an internship program in concert with the state capitol that will allow you to work with them in halls and use that policy education.
Absolutely. So we're building that right now. One of the things that we know about our state legislative offices. So La Follette last year interviewed about 80% of our state legislative offices to figure out how can La Follette better serve our state legislature in our quest to be, to live our mission of evidence-based policy. And one of the things we heard from Pat Craig is exactly what you're saying, is they want to have empowered, smart, skilled interns to help them with their work in the state legislature. Because we're working right now to kind of make that process a lot easier. So we take it through our website that we house within the school to make those matches between state legislative members and our students a lot smoother, and figuring out what the skills will get best through the different legislative offices. And we're finding
If you're just joining us, Susan Yack is our guest. She's the director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison, and we're talking about the growing interest among students to learn about policies and policy making. And it sounds, Susan, like part of their studies includes how to research, right? And to make sure that, as you said, it is evidence-based.
Absolutely. And that's how you can be a great consumer of research, figuring out how we out of that research.
Thanks for thinking local. We're proud to be local radio, country and community. WRCO FM 100.9
is really, really important in our next generation of public sector, nonprofit sector, private sector leaders. So that is a huge part of our certificate programs. Those programs in the last 5 years have gone from 0 students to 500 students in our certificate program. So, yeah, they're in the top 5 or 6 certificates across all of UW-Madison in just 5 years. And so that gives you a sense of that growth. And we are actually in the process, because it's a 2-year process, we're 1 year in, of establishing a major in public policy, which would be UW System's first major in public policy.
Are a lot of these kids, and I don't know if they tell you this, Susan, but are some of these kids thinking about a career in politics? Do they want to go into politics? Is that why they want this kind of background?
Some of them do. Absolutely. So I was chatting. We hosted former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, last fall for a huge public lecture, which was just wonderful. And former Speaker, met with a lot of our students in the weekends. And, that was a group that was probably drawn to him because they're more interested in the election office. But it was a wonderful backstory. He's used as the Wallets policymaker in residence. And he was able to provide what's it like in the trenches, emphasis on elected office and why people should be choosing elected office. And he was this great ambassador for saying, not only choosing elected office, it's important for public service, but also invest in those data analysis skills. He is a real user of data analysis in his policy campaign, has been in the past.
It just seems like a good idea that if one is planning to go into politics, one would study what would be involved once you are actually in office. That seems like a useful,
skill set.
Yes, as opposed to some of our electeds who just don't seem to have any clue. Maybe that's just my perspective.
That's what real subtle. That's the thing for me personally. I love hearing this because I know it's not public policy. Science to me, one of the things they tell you is good luck, because it's very tough to get a job in the field of the politics of policy. You don't have to train. I'm one of the lucky ones who did come to the politics, but it's so refreshing and wonderful to see what you're doing, Susan, helping these young people get involved in the process, because, not to quote Whitney Houston, but they're our future, and they should be informed. We want to make sure that they have the best ways to research and find the solutions and work together, because I'm sure they all don't agree on the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually going to be a key part of how we think we're going to innovate in this new major in public policy.
We're going to keep this conversation going at the stay for one more segment. Wonderful. Susan Yackey is our guest. We are talking about the increasing interest, in studying public policies. We're going to keep this going. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This year, only 1,500 tickets will be sold with the potential for a maximum payout of $7,500 to a single winner. One ticket will be drawn on July 18th during the time of PRB Memorial Telephonic at the Rockford Road Blackboard. You can't be the winner if you don't buy a ticket. Get your ticket today.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dependable, quality, friendly, and superior customer service. When you hear those words, you think of Walsh's Ace Hardware. Walsh's Ace has quality products like Craftsman, DeWalt, Milwaukee, Stanley, and Irwin. Have you checked out the Ace Paint Studio? Amazing products from Benjamin Ward to Clark and Kensington. The Paint Studio has everything you need to make your home project turn out just perfect. Visit your local Walsh's Ace store in Muscatay, Richland Center, and Ace of La Trobe.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
these empty miles.
News from the center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She left me on this lost highway.
What's your policy?
One's why
she was gone.
That's how cowgirl breaks the old.
Welcome back to Matt Near on Air. Jay Matt Near, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board. You found a song about
It sounded like a song by the most Canadian man ever. What's your policy?
I do think the man is Canadian based off the imagery in the video, but I just typed in public policy. And this is one of the options.
Susan, now you can bring that into your class, your classrooms, and that is hilarious, actually.
Policy. Oh, my God. This is going to be my head for the rest. I'm so sorry.
Susan Yaki is our guest. She's the director of the Butler Mollet School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. And this is an article that we saw in the Cap Times from John and Rose Schleiss about this growing interest in public policy at the LaMollet School of Public Affairs. And you said, you mentioned some of the people who went to break, Susan, about they look at different studies in order to come up with some of these analyses. And I think it's important for people to remember that not every study is the same. And not every study is conducted the same, correct?
Absolutely, right. There's such variation in the kind of data that goes into the public policymaking process. And that's one of the things we want all of our LaMollet students, our undergraduates who are doing our certificate, folks who are going to do our new major, graduate students who are fabulous. We want all of them to be wonderful consumers of that, because they are going to be either in the policymaking role, where they're going to be translating that evidence, or they're going to be advising those policymakers at the very senior levels, and we need people to be making decisions based on good evidence.
And something I mentioned just before we went to the break was that not every student in the program has the exact same opinions on everything. And with, do you even offer a class possibly? Like, how to heal a divide, how to agree without being disagreeable, or disagree without being disagreeable, and kind of maybe move us forward to a new level of solution making while not fighting. Like fighting so heavily what we're used to today in the news and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. It's one of my real pet projects for the LaFalle School. So, you know, we're this top-ranked public policy school in this very purple state. And so it's terrifically important to us that if our students are going to be impactful, if our researchers and our faculty members at LaFalle are going to be impactful, we have to be within that purple mindset where we bring people together, not bring people apart.
Back in my young days, when I was running wild,
we did a better to think about the way it was, but also better to be able to appreciate other people's
perspective. Susan, I think all of America should be required to take that class. I really do.
I agree. And, you know, our faculty are so committed to the program this fall. Now, many of our faculty members are very experienced with this already, but all of us do better and learn better about ways to integrate in ideas that may not be mainstream, where students may feel that they might be wanting to self-censor in ways that we know from the academic classroom is bad for learning. Right, so we are going to switch all of our vocal advance, our undergraduate and undergraduate training.
Well, and this is something that we talk about a lot just as a network, is how to talk to people with which we may not agree on everything, and learning how to research and learning how to look at data and things like that. That at least gives you something to bring to the discussion that is based in fact, not just emotion. And we all tend, I think, to lean very heavily towards how we feel about something. But then that's great, but that is not a good way to approach policy.
That's right. You know, thinking about and really going out what's back, what's next, and recognizing at the end of the day that we can agree to disagree, but you know, but can we also find common ground in some spaces? We know that want us to do this work. So LaFalle did a big policy poll of regular Wisconsinites a year or so ago. And we identified in that poll a lot of areas where Wisconsinites actually have more common ground than and so that's a part of our, not just our undergraduate education experience, but also our broader public mission as being an important part of the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is this idea, the Wisconsin idea, bringing people together across, in our case, public health.
Well, and I think this would be so useful too, even if you're not intending to go into politics or anything. I just think it's a great base for whatever your next step is going to be. I just think it would be really, really useful.
We are accepting a lot of student interest in our programming. And it's not just on the student side. Again, LaFalle's going to hold 6 events all across Wisconsin with regular Wisconsin in September and October in advance of the election, where our faculty are going to be facilitating, they're going to be practicing that talking across difference with Wisconsinites in advance of the 2024 election.
Well, we're going to talk to you before then, because I want to find out when those are happening so we can help get the word out if people want to attend. Susan Yaki is the director of the LaFalle School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Thank you so very much for your time, Susan. We really, really appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Stay with us. News is coming up next, and then we return. We're going to talk sinkholes. We're going to learn stuff. We're going to learn stuff. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Policy. Pass by a comforting body. What's your policy? It can't be vague or foggy. What's your policy?
You ran
across a body. What's your policy? Well, that is our policy, but it's kind of not our practice.
Another piece of heaven on the hill.
Policy is subject to procedural fairness. Justice principles should also
just
be in
my world.
Because if you don't, and then you find that you are
in the hell.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For months, people have been complaining about inflation and high prices, but it didn't stop anyone from flying over the weekend.
Usually, the busiest travel days are over a holiday weekend, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, or 4th of July, but surprisingly, Sunday of this week was the busiest travel day ever, according to the TSA. It says officers screened 2.99 million people at security checkpoints on Sunday. Never before has it been that busy. And this Friday, for the 4th of July getaway, flights expected to break that with over 3 million people flying on Friday. Alex Stone, EBC News.
The U.S. announced a plea deal that will allow WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to avoid prison for publishing classified U.S. documents 14 years ago. The NHL's Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup Championship after blowing a 3-0 series lead, defeating the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 to secure the cup in 7 games. This is ABC News.
Is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ellis Sack. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats are reminding voters what's at stake on the second anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. Secretary of State Sarah Gutierrez. So
President Biden is ready to sign Tammy Baldwin's Women's Health Protection Act that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. And he's been very clear. Politicians should not be making our health care choices.
Many Republicans say abortion laws should be left to states. From the heart, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is opposed to introducing electronic ballots in Wisconsin ahead of the presidential election. Disability Rights Wisconsin filed a lawsuit in April claiming people with disabilities can't file paper ballots without help, which violates their right to a secret ballot. In a hearing Monday, Call said electronic ballots would cause confusion and security risks. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's always interesting when an actor riffs on one of the movies he was the star of. Andrew McCarthy is doing everything he can to promote his new documentary, Brass, on Hulu. During a recent interview, the 59-year-old actor took a shot at one of his own movies, 1986's Pretty in Pink, which was written by John Hughes, and also starred Molly Ringwald and John Cryer. However, when asked how he thought it compared to his film Mannequin, he faked an injury and left the interview. Jason Biggs' wife recently let it be known she did not see American Pie until after the couple were married. Jenny Mollin claimed she was too highbrow at the time and busy spending time in indie video stores and doing high-end theater to watch the film. Biggs actually thought it was refreshing that his new girlfriend at the time had not seen it. Mollin eventually saw the film and said she enjoyed it and now understands why Biggs likes to attend bake sales alone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Meteorologists watch dry showers and storms set to move through in the overnight. Severe weather and heavy rainfall both concerns. Plenty of clouds, mid-70s by daybreak. On your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies will develop. Highs in the upper 80s with a west wind. It's 84 at our studios.
Nightlife with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer is, like, testosterone overload.
Nightlife with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Fellow DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about Monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you drop the consumers into basically having to pay, like, junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time where our friend and executive producer of Civic Media, Mr. Luke Mathers, is in for a Tuesday tangent to talk about the upcoming presidential debate, weather, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm fixing.
morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Buchan coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our guest. Ken Micah is with the American Society of Civil Engineers, and we're going to talk about sinkholes. Good morning, Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. Ken, I think your mic is muted.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us. The reason I wanted to bring this up, this happened earlier in June, I think it was around June 11th, that this big sinkhole appeared in Whitefish Bay around the Milwaukee area. But sinkholes happen all over the world. So is it always infrastructure related, or what is going on with sinkholes? Why? Why sinkhole?
Sure. So sinkholes can happen both with infrastructure. The most general term with sinkholes is usually when water from storm events or flooding gets into the ground, as it naturally does. And if there is potential based on the soil types or the rock that's below, the water will flow through the rock even. There's a lot of our groundwater that we use for drinking sources comes from different aquifers. And the movement of the water causes the soils. So you'll naturally get a sinkhole. A lot of times we hear about sinkholes down in the south or in other states where rock formation from the karst, where the karst has eroded away. The situation we know that happened recently in Wisconsin was due to an aging pipe system, where as our infrastructure gets older and you're not able to get to it in a timely fashion to repair it or replace it, we end up getting cracks in certain pipes, and with the cracks and water still going through the ground, through the soil, whatever else is down there. The water will get into the pipe, and as water flows into the pipe, it's also flowing into the soil as well. So over time, as more and more soil is pulled into the pipe, through the water going through the pipe, you end up with a sinkhole. Over time, there'll be a hole that develops, and eventually the weight of the soil above that hole causes that hole to slip in itself. That's how the sinkholes generally occur. So it can either come from both regular naturally through soil itself and different rock formations or through the ocean.
I never thought about the soil actually being pulled into the pipe. That makes perfect sense. I'm just envisioning like an hourglass, right, where the sand is getting pulled in there. And then, as you said, now you're forming a hole around the pipes, and this just gives an opening. And water will always seep its lowest level. I've been flooded many times. I know all about that.
It'll seep its lowest level, and it'll take the path of least resistance. And so there's a quicker path for it to go.
On the wrong feet,
had his glove on his head, trying to beat the heat.
The coach said, son, are you going to play ball? With the sun in his eyes, he looked up and said, no.
Ken, if I got any of this wrong, please forgive me. But you said one of the things that is lead to a house being swallowed up in a sinkhole is the loss of karst. Is there a way to know whether your house is
sitting on it,
missing it, protected, not protected? This sounds right. Forgive the dumb question, but can you get karst inserted into your property to help save your house?
Yeah, so first, there are geological studies that have been done.
Through high school and college, he lived out of
but there are studies that have been done.
And his hometown friends,
because we
said
not want to build anything.
Said, are you going to try out? He just smiled and said, no.
Because over time, the water does go away. I said, mostly seen further south, but there are some areas in Wisconsin where it can be. However, those areas, from my knowledge, are very deep. But that's why generally you hear that happening down south.
And specifically in Florida, I can think of a number of cases where, yep, that used to be Walter's house and now it's gone, or even just with cars getting swallowed up. And that's That's terrifying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, you can, there are generally find out as long as there was a geological study done in that area. Not all studies.
Whose record he broke was there that night the commissioner spoke.
But depending on what construction he's going to build in the area,
then he leaned in and whispered somewhere, someone said,
okay, so I did hear that wrong. I was thinking Karst was a good thing. Karst is the bad thing.
If you're just, if you're just joining us, Ken Mica is our guest. He's with the American Society of Civil Engineers, and we're talking about sinkholes. After that sinkhole showed up in Whitefish Bay, and it's related to some old sewer pipes, but just what causes them in general, and what we can do to protect ourselves. Other than if you're going to build a new house, Ken, it doesn't sound like there's too many options.
No, the reality is up here, we're six. Majority of them are going to be from our infrastructure, aging infrastructure, or infrastructure getting damaged in some way or fashion causing soils to erode against that pipe, that duct bank, whatever it could be for the soil to go. Because it's going to go somewhere, and the question is where.
I was gonna, so. If we're looking at, so we're looking at infrastructure, we're talking about that topic. I don't want to take anything political because infrastructure should never be political. It's infrastructure. But what are the projects that local, state, and federal should be looking at to help protect themselves from these situations? You know, like, are there any things we should be focusing on one thing more than another in the infrastructure game? Or is it sort of an overall?
It's an overall it is, unfortunately, infrastructure has been in the United States, not just Wisconsin. You know, our local communities that actually are managing the infrastructure, they're doing the best they have limited funding to take care of their infrastructure. You know, a lot of the infrastructure was put in place at a time when materials were a lot less in price, labor was much cheaper, and it was a lot easier. Just the unfortunate side is we have not been able to help recover the cost of adjusting to whether it is piping networks, whether it is roads, and so on. So, the best thing for you to do is try to invest and replace and repair what you can. The IIJA, one, put a lot of money into the infrastructure industry. However, it was just a little band-aid over the and so, but you know, that's just what the band did. You can hear they're not fixing everything. You can still see sinkholes happening. Say we're crazy, but that is in a place that's been way truly capable of crossing
the well, continuing to keep the hand down the road is not the answer. Because these issues are not going to go away. And as you said, and some of these pipe systems are decades old and probably long overdue for being replaced.
There's some communities that I don't appreciate bidding on site. They still have wooden pipes for water cooling systems. And they won't really tell you where they are because there's a lot of concern with that. But we are still relying on technology. And so the promise to fund where's the funding coming from? We are paying individuals and communities to pay for our water bills and so on. But what we're the price that we're paying for our water system, our wastewater system, our gas tax, and so on, really does not cover the cost of actually maintaining those systems. And so that's why a lot of the local municipalities for many of their infrastructure systems do rely on the state and federal government to help supplement some of that funding to manage their infrastructure systems.
I mean, what it comes down to is that, you know,
Tennessee. Couldn't
this has to be a like proactive system that's going to be
years ago, dog and burn like a daydream.
I don't mean to use the bridge screens as an example, but we need to be using these dollars we have, miles, especially at the local level, because I used to work in local government, and there were some of these times where road projects, they were like, crap, we got to reschedule because the state or federal took the money away, and they're reallocating the funds for this bigger project, and our roads crumbled more. And the thing I hear whenever I hear anyone talk about infrastructure, especially someone like you, and he's an expert in the field, is we need a more proactive look at the problem. Either waiting for 90-year-old pipes to burst or getting to them just on time, that's not good enough. We had a best plan to take care of these small projects and
Absolutely. Those are conversations that need to be had. I'm not saying it's a good idea for us to get rid of the small at all. These are conversations we need to have to truly understand the cost of our infrastructure. How do we maintain it so that we don't have those issues?
Well, and I go back to you're saying that there are some small communities that still have wooden pipes that are 100 years old. I mean, if those fail, not only is that going to be catastrophic, but as Greg pointed out, you are doubling and tripling the cost of making this infrastructure now. If we allow it to get to that point, correct?
That is correct. So every time it fails, it costs more money to go in and replace it. Because most of the time when something fails, it's
not to mention on top of the fact you have to fix whatever's damaged. Like on top, like not just the pipe, but did it break concrete? Did it hit a car? You know, there are so many variables that, once again, infrastructure should never be political. It just makes sense. Let's just fund it and keep ourselves safe. It's an investment.
Absolutely, it's an investment. Yeah. How does Wisconsin look overall, as far as the state of its infrastructure?
Well, that's a great question. Because Wisconsin's going to be a good CEO, or the ASC Wisconsin is going to be releasing the 2024 report card on September 17th, where we're going to be reporting again where Wisconsin's infrastructure is and where it's going to be going.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial
Funeral
Home.
Stay tuned for that.
With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, call pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today to protect against future inflation with a pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
Reviews of Wisconsin's infrastructure.
July is National Ice Cream Month, and here at WRCO, we will be celebrating it with you, along with Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, Quick Trip on County OM14, and ET Foods. We have something sweet in store. Every day, you'll have a chance to win a double scoop cone or dish from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe. On Fridays, grab a half gallon of ice cream from Quick Trip, and on Tuesdays, don't miss the ice cream giveaway from ET Foods.
And you can give us an update on where we are infrastructure-wise. And Micah is with the American Society of Civil Engineers.
When you hear that
so
during July, be the fifth caller.
Thank you so very much for joining us, and
WRCL.
We will talk to you in a couple months.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Stay with us. One more segment to go before the news, and then Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WRCE. Nightlife with Chihuahua.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie, and it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into it anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. And it was like testosterone.
Doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on air. Jay Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvinator on board. Coming to you from sunny downtown Waukesha. It is a beautiful day. If you have a chance, get out and enjoy it. It really is lovely. And give us a call, or shoot us a text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that you like to use to just spend just have our conversation with Ken Micah from the American Society of Civil Engineers after that sinkhole showed up in Whitefish Bay earlier this month. And look, Greg Bach, there's more infrastructure talk.
Yeah.
I-94's plant expansion on Milwaukee's west side. This is from Tom Dakin in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's a $1.74 billion six-year project. So they're going to have some public meetings about this. There's all kinds of different opinions about this. The open house meetings set from 4 to 7 p.m. One is tomorrow at the Washington Park Senior Center at 44th and Belit. And the Wednesday meeting will be at the State Fair Park's Tommy Thompson Youth Center on 640 South 84th Street in West Dallas. So if you live in the Milwaukee area, particularly on the west side, and this will be affecting you because this is going to have some wide-ranging impacts, you may want to attend one of these two meetings. And we'll get the links to this article in our show notes if you want to attend. You're gritting your teeth, Greg Bach. What?
I am so angry right now about this. I don't know much, so maybe they'll put my mind at ease. But I was under the belief that 94 was done. That the long project that took 10 years was it.
You mean the whole zipper merge, going back to the zipper merge and all that stuff?
Expanding freeway lanes and the whole... I thought we... This is a nearly $2 billion project, which, by the way, I'm just going to put it out here, a six-year project around the Brewers Stadium. So not only will you have traffic during the stadium during baseball, but then you have construction on top of traffic. I want to know why. I really, truly want to know why the money's being used for what. And in this, I see expansion of 6 to 8 lanes.
Yes, between 16th and 70th.
I need to know why. And maybe I'll go to the meeting because this really upsets me because I was under the impression that this was done.
Yeah, the project centers on widening I-94 from 6 to 8 lanes between 16th and 70th Streets. From my opinion, from 35th to 16th, they should leave it alone. The speed limit there right now is 50.
Yes.
No one goes 50. People are going 70. If we expand those lanes, now they're going to be going 90. And I don't sit in rush hour traffic. That's not the way I travel. So if you do, I'm sure it's a pain in the neck. But I don't see how this is going to completely solve this issue. And in another 20 years, they're going to want to widen it from 8 to 10.
Well, and that's the other thing is, if you think of, for folks out there who don't know Milwaukee well, the apologize. We're talking very nuanced roads here. When you think about 35th to 15th on 94, where's the space coming from?
Right.
Because it's not like it's sprawling like on 94 and southbound. You have all this
land
property and land. 35th to 15th, it like sort of almost juts out.
Well, McKinley's right there.
Yeah.
McKinley's right there on the north side, and the valley is right there on the south side.
Again, maybe I can go to the meeting, or we'll have someone on here who can hold my hand and say, take a breath, Brent, it'll be okay. But so much of this really just upset me, especially the $2 billion price tag, because one, we know that means $4 billion.
Yes.
We also know 6 years means
10.
8 years, or it's just the continuation, because let's also be honest, that 10-year project from 2010 to 2020 took until about 2022 to completely finish that. And they're still doing work. I mean, they're doing 894 right now, and that thing is just a mess. It just never ends.
Well, talk about infrastructure. I mean, obviously some of these things have to be updated.
And yes, absolutely.
It is a continual thing, and especially because of our weather here and the freezing and thawing cycle, and this all plays into it too. But Wisconsin DOT says they have to increase the lanes from 6 to 8 to reduce congestion and improve safety. And I just don't see how this is going to improve safety when all it's going to do is make it easier for people to blast in and out of traffic and weave in and out of traffic when they're going 7.
We are also not a state. This was proven to me personally. Unless there's an accident or a snowstorm, that 4 lanes on the freeway heading southbound on 94, we are not such a populous state where that is necessary. We're not LA, we're not Chicago, we're not Atlanta, we're not New York.
Houston.
We don't require so much lane, you know, expansion that it somehow fixes the trick. It's just, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I swear to God, this is all lobbying to me. This is all lobbying to me. And they
the Sierra Club and other opponents say the project benefits suburban commuters over black and brown people who live near the freeway. They also say this project will bring increased air and water pollution and other harmful impacts that will disproportionately affect people of color. Wisconsin DOT says it continues to minimize harmful effects. The review could result in the DOT taking additional action to mitigate harmful impacts. And if you live in the city of Milwaukee and you're interested in this, they are going to have 2 open house style meetings about expanding I-94 from 16th Street to 70th, going from 6 to 8 lanes. The meetings, one is tomorrow from 4 to 7 at the Washington Park Senior Center on Elite, and Wednesday's meeting will be at State Fair Park's Tommy Thompson Youth Center in West Dallas. And we'll get the link to the article. This is from Tom Dakin in today's Journal Sentinel. We will get that up in the show notes after the show is over. All right, we have news on the way next. Thank you to Greg and Calvin and our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And most of all, thanks to you for calling and texting and, above all, listening. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have a chance to share it. Watch the weather tonight. Be careful. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do it.
conversation, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station. Or the Civic Media app. Until all the streets are tumbling.
Drop them down to the floor. 107.7 FM. 299 City of Radio.